Hello, everybody. I'm going to talk to you briefly today about a subject matter we rarely hear being discussed as Christians. The Holy Spirit placed this in my heart this morning, and I believe this is what God would have me to talk about today. And what I'm talking about is called secret sins. First of all, trying to hide sin from God is like running from your shadow. You can never get away from your shadow. You can't run away from God because He knows everything. He sees everything. He hears everything. There is nothing hidden from God's eyes. Now, on the other hand, your family, friends, and co-workers might not know about your secret sins, but like I said, God knows. All the skeletons in your closet should be confessed, because unconfessed sin can block you from God. The other dangerous thing about trying to hide sin is that a person may think they're getting away with it, and that leads to deliberately sinning and backsliding, which is deadly and something that no Christian should do. Those who secretly hate others are as guilty as those who act out their hatred. And those who indulge in private, hidden lust and sexual behaviors are as guilty as reckless adulterers. Jesus said in Matthew, the 5th chapter, verses 21 through 30, "You have heard that our ancestors were told, 'You must not murder. If you commit murder, you are subject to judgment.' But I say, if you're even angry with someone, you're subject to judgment. If you call someone an idiot, you're in danger of being brought before the court. And if you curse someone, you're in danger of the fires of hell." So if you're presenting a sacrifice at the altar in the temple and you suddenly remember that someone has something against you, leave your sacrifice there at the altar and go and be reconciled to that person. Then come and offer your sacrifice to God. When you're on the way to court with your adversary, settle your differences quickly. Otherwise, your accuser may hand you over to the judge, who will hand you over to an officer, and you will be thrown into prison. And if that happens, you surely won't be free again until you have paid the last penny. You have heard the commandment that says, "You must not commit adultery." But I say, anyone who even looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. So if your eye, even your good eye, causes you to lust, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your hand, even your stronger hand, causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. Now, these are Jesus' words. He said this, and I believe what he's saying here in the scriptures are true. So children of God are not to think of secret sins as somehow less serious and more respectable than the sins everyone can see. Here are three reasons secret sin is especially offensive. Reason number one is God sees the heart. Scripture tells us God sees not as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. That's 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. No sin, not even a whispered curse or a fleeting evil thought, is hidden from the view of God. In fact, if we realize that God Himself is the only audience for such secret sins, we might be less inclined to write them off so lightly. The Bible declares that God will one day judge the secrets of every heart. That's Romans 2:16. He will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil. That's Ecclesiastes 12:14. Not only that, secret sins will no longer remain secret. The Lord will bring to light the things hidden in the darkness. That's 1 Corinthians 4, verse 5. Jesus said, "There is nothing covered up that will not be revealed, and nothing that will not be known." Whatever you have said in the dark, shall be heard in the light, and what you have whispered in the inner rooms shall be proclaimed upon the housetop. That's Luke 12, 2 and 3. So I encourage all of us, be careful. Be careful what you're saying in secret behind people's backs. God heard everything you said. Instead of gossiping and speaking evil of others, why don't you ask God to give you a clean heart so you can pray for others? Instead of talking about them behind their backs, pray for them. Those who think they can escape or avoid shame by sinning in secret will discover one day that open disclosure of their secrets before the very throne of God is the worst shame of all. It is foolishness to think we can alleviate our sin by keeping it secret. It is double foolishness to tell ourselves that we are better than others because we sin in private rather than in public. And it is the very height of foolishness to convince ourselves that we can get away with sin by covering it up. People who conceal or hide their sins will not prosper. But if they confess and turn from them, they will receive mercy. That's Proverbs 28, verse 13. All sin is an assault against our holy God, whether it is done in public or in secret. And God, who beholds even the innermost secrets of the heart, sees our sin clearly, no matter how well we think we have covered it up. Now, reason number two. Sin in the mind is a fruit of the same moral imperfection that produces deeds of sin. In Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, he was pointing out that anger arises from the same moral defect as murder. And the one who lusts suffers from the same character flaw as the adulterer. Furthermore, those who engage in mental sins are guilty of violating the same moral precepts as those who physically commit acts of murder and adultery. In other words, secret sins of the heart and mind are morally equivalent to the worst kind of evil deeds, even if they are sins of a lesser degree. A person who lusts in their heart and mind has no right to feel morally superior to a promiscuous fornicator. The fact that he or she indulges in lust is proof that he or she is capable of immoral acts as well. The fact that he or she hates his or her brother shows that he or she has murder lurking in his or her heart. Christ was teaching us to view our own secret sins with the same moral disgust we feel for deliberate acts of public sin done by others. Now, reason number three, hidden sin. It involves the compounding sin of hypocrisy. Those who sin secretly actually intensify their guilt because they add the sin of hypocrisy to their offense. Now, what is hypocrisy? Hypocrisy is behavior that contradicts what one claims to believe. It also means, from a biblical perspective, a pretense of having a virtuous character, moral or religious beliefs or principles that one does not really possess. In other words, someone who pretends to be what he is not. There are two forms hypocrisy can take. One is when a person professes a belief in something and then acting in a manner contrary to that belief. And the other is when a person looks down on others when they themselves are flawed. The Bible says, beware of that sort of leaven or sin. The prophet Isaiah condemned the hypocrisy of his day. The Lord spoke through Isaiah in the 29th chapter, verse 13, and said, "These people come near to me with their mouth, and they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. The worship of me is made up only of rules taught by men." Centuries later, in the book of Matthew, chapter 15, verse 8 and 9, Jesus quoted this very same verse from Isaiah, aiming the same condemnation at the religious leaders of his day. So we cannot say we love God if we do not love our brothers and sisters in Christ. That's 1 John 2:9. Love must be without hypocrisy. Romans 12:9. A hypocrite may look righteous on the outside, but it is a facade. True righteousness comes from the inner transformation of the Holy Spirit, not an external conformity to a set of rules. That's in Matthew 23, verse 5 and 2 Corinthians 3, verse 8. Jesus addressed the other form of hypocrisy in the Sermon on the Mount. He said, "Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." That's in Matthew 7, chapter verses 3 through 5. In other words, Jesus is telling us not to be so prideful and convinced of our own goodness that we criticize others from a position of self-righteousness. We should do some self-examining first and correct our own shortcomings before we go after the speck in someone else's eyes. The Bible says to examine yourselves to see if your faith is genuine. Test yourselves. Surely you know that Jesus Christ is among you. If not, you have failed the test of genuine faith. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. So, no matter who suggests to you that appearances are everything, don't believe it. God sees more than what we see. He sees those hidden and covered up sins that the human eyes cannot see. There's a verse in the book of Psalms that says, "How can I know all the sins lurking in my heart? Cleanse me from these hidden faults. Keep your servant from deliberate sins. Don't let them control me. Then I will be free of guilt and innocent of great sin. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." That's Psalms 19, verses 12 through 14. My encouragement for every believer, and I'm talking about all of us, take a hard look at your private life. Quit looking at someone else's life, not even your spouse. Examine yourself. Take a look at you, especially your innermost thoughts. Gaze into the mirror of God's word and allow it to disclose and correct the real thoughts and motives of your heart. 1 John 1st chapter says, "This is the message we've heard from Jesus and now declare to you. God is light, and there is no darkness in him at all." So we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but we go on living in spiritual darkness. We're not practicing the truth. But if we are living in the light as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we claim we have no sin, we're only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness or unrighteousness. And if we claim we have not sinned, guess what? We're calling God a liar and showing that his word has no place in our hearts. You can read about that for yourself in 1 John, the first chapter, verses 5 through 10. So, I'm going to say again, examine yourself. Make sure that you're truly in the faith. Take time to let God's word search your heart. I pray that this encourages you. I pray that this will bring you to a place, a new place in your walk with the Lord, where you will begin to humble yourself under his mighty hand and pray and seek his face and turn from every wicked way. Then he will hear from heaven, forgive your sin, and heal your land. If you know of anyone that can stand to hear this message, please pass it on. Blessings to all of you. Peace to all of you. In the precious, wonderful, magnificent name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. God bless you all. Amen.